Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Our NFL playoff profiles come to a close this week here on this Thursday in this second hour. All week long, we've been going four teams a day looking at the playoff teams from a year ago. All seven in each conference, 14 in total. We started at the bottom of those postseason standings, the wild card teams working our way up to the divisional winners and DRS. Today, we end with the one seeds in each conference from 2024. The Chiefs in the AFC, and the Lions in the NFC. And then we've got a jam-packed hour of guests here in hour number two as well, with so much to break down, especially around Major League Baseball. A lot to get to here, DRS. Two more hours to go on this Thursday on TEL.
Absolutely. Some football talk. Love to see it here. Some teams getting to camp early in the teams. I think it's this weekend. Is it the Chargers this weekend? Some of the rookies
are out
there. And then away you go. Everybody starts building towards that. And you get a lot more information out because you know what else is fun? We do the previews, but actually seeing things come into fruition, like some of the quarterback battles where you get some snippets out there. Hey, look, Shedeur Sanders taking more snaps than, let's just say, Dylan Gabriel at this point. We love to hear that. Or guys that have come back really in shape looking to play and or guys coming back to football teams hoping for new contracts here, which there are a couple big names still floating out there. So even though we're in that dead period, per se, that even when you get the rookies back, you don't hear too much. When everybody starts to report back and it's camp, 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 we love to see that here. And also, what, the 10th year, we're talking about the end of the month, the preseason game, just have some glimpse on a live football game, which hopefully the paint sticks on the football field they play. Love it, man. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a football month. All right, our NFL playoff profiles continue and conclude as we focus on the one seeds in each conference. We'll get to the Lions in just a moment. Our one seed last year out of the NFC. We get to the one seed in the AFC from a season ago. For the first time since the beginning, DRS, of the 2023 NFL campaign, the Chiefs will not be the reigning Super Bowl champions, but they will be the reigning AFC title winners entering 2025. I think the perception around KC is fascinating entering this next season. Last year in 2024, despite perceived fall-offs in years past, would this finally be the year? Nope. 15-2, the record for Kansas City, ninth consecutive AFC West divisional crown. And as you see there, a minus 115 price to make it 10 in a row. But they have the third best number to win the AFC, and the fourth best price to win a Super Bowl. But behind the team that hammered them last year in New Orleans, there is no doubt the Philadelphia Eagles was dominant in winning that Lombardi Trophy last February in the Big Easy, taking advantage of a porous O-line, which we have seen for the Chiefs in Super Bowl defeats in years past. That, of course, priority number one this offseason for Kansas City. It is year number eight with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback in KC Mo, his ninth season in the NFL. So DRS, not a reigning Super Bowl champ for the first time in 3 years, but still the reigning AFC champion for a third consecutive season as we get ready for 2025. What do you think about Kansas City entering this upcoming year?
Yeah, let's go back to last year and just in the Super Bowl where we were down there as a Sports Grid network and we sort of walked around on opening night, as they call it, on the Monday night to interview both of the football teams, Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was a stark contrast between both of those teams because when you're on the floor trying to get interviews with players to get close to the booths, you notice like the Eagles were littered, Ben, with superstars. Like, oh, look at that. It's A.J. Brown over there. It's Devontae. It's Jalen Hurts. It's, you know, Jalen Carter. And it's, Saquon Barkley. Like, it was endless all the way around. And then the Chiefs took the floor. It's like, hey, let's go see Mahomes, and we'll go see Kelce and Chris Jones. And it was like, I don't really know, like, outside of uniform, who half of these players are without their helmets on. So it's like, man, this is really like superstars versus the building of Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo and Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. and nothing else matters. And you see, they were 15-2 last year. They were an unbelievable football team, and that's the way they do it. You know the defense is going to be sound regardless of any players out there, because that's what Steve Spagnuolo brings to the table. And Andy Reid probably is the single best head coach in the NFL by a wide margin, so you don't really look at the offensive coordinators when they leave or don't leave. Which brings me into this year. What has always been the problem when the Chiefs start to malfunction a little bit? And they are a frustrating team to bet, no doubt about it. Because as a favorite, they are horrendous. When they need to score, they score. When they don't have to score, it's almost like they get complacent out there. It's maddening to watch. But understand this. They might have been the best center in football. And Trey Smith is a fantastic right guard. But the other three positions, they're musical chairs out there. So what you saw in the Super Bowl was the Eagles just absolutely bludgeon that offensive line where they were trying to fix and they bring more in. But I don't think we got any better on the offensive line, and that's where we'll start. Now, we can talk a lot about the Chiefs and what they've done in the past, and will they be in their end? Yes, they will. But if there's one question mark I'm worried about, it's not Mahomes, it's not Andy Reid, it's not the wide receiving core if they're healthy with Rice, which I really like coming back, or what I'm getting out of Travis Kelce. If you can just get to the quarterback, you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs, man. You can. The blueprint is there. Can you do it? It's up to you.
Of course, when they lost to the Buccaneers and Tom Brady in the 2020 Super Bowl that we saw in Tampa, they got absolutely blitzed on the O-line. They go out and they make some moves to bolster that offensive line. Now, they did not win a Super Bowl the following season, but they got back to the AFC Championship game before falling to Joe Burrow. To me, DRS, I do think the O-line maybe not improve, but should be better. One of the reasons I say that, Joe Tooney had to flex out to left tackle. Yeah. He's not a tackle. He's an all-pro guard. He's now in Chicago. They made some moves. I thought, love what they did at the end of the opening round, to draft a guy in Joshua Simmons that had some injury issues for Ohio State, but I think could factor in the rotation. An early draft pick last year, Kingsley Suamataea out of BYU. Maybe not a tackle, but can factor into that left guard spot. They signed Jalen Moore, a guy on the come up from San Francisco. And you still have Creed Humphrey, and you still have Trey Smith. That is priority number one. Second priority for Kansas City, getting healthier in those offensive threats. Of course, Isaiah Pacheco and Rashee Rice, not really healthy a season ago. I think the idea that the Chiefs are being slept on in a way, although they're only 40 cents back of both Baltimore mm-hmm. and Buffalo to win the AFC, mm-hmm. is slightly disrespectful. There is only one quarterback in the AFC active that has beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. He doesn't play in Buffalo. He doesn't play in Baltimore. He plays in Cincinnati. His name is Joe Burrow. There are only two active quarterbacks that have beaten Patrick Mahomes, handed him an L in his playoff tenure. And one won a Super Bowl against them last year in Jalen Hurts. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be back in the AFC Championship game. And I think that 4-1 price, DRS, presents some value on the Chiefs to do just that.
Look, you can run back these shows for years on the Sports Grid Network with me. Hey, what's Kansas City going to do this year? I don't care who's on defense. I don't care anything about their offense as long as Mahomes and Andy Reid are there. That's a double-digit win football team that nobody wants to see. We get that. And by the way, Worthy, speed, Brown, speed, Rice coming back. That's the best wide receiver core he's had since they lost Tyreek Hill. And you take a look at Kelce, what do we get out of him? But again, there are some question marks here. And also, this is no longer the AFC West where you just print money with the Kansas City Chiefs to easily beat the competition. They're going to get a fight from a couple different angles here. This might be the best coaching performance of Andy Reid's career. It's like, wait a second. Look at what he did in Philadelphia already. I'm telling you, there's much more competition. He winds up in the AFC Championship game again. Just crown this guy as the best maybe all time to do it. I'm serious.
And last year, DRS, it was the offense that had stalled for a good majority of the year and the defense that carried them Spags, 11 of 15 regular season wins by a single score. 11.5, the win total for the Chiefs, a number they have gone over 6 of the 7 years. Mahomes has been the starter. More on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Let's talk a little Major League Baseball in the final few days ahead of the All-Star break, which comes our way at the end of Sunday's action. Monday, the Home Run Derby. This upcoming Tuesday, that Midsummer Classic, the 2025 All-Star Game in Atlanta. To help us break it all down, Derek Carty joins us here on this Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, the creator of BatX Analytics that you can find at EV Analytics. Of course, a bright baseball mind joining us here on this Thursday on TEL. Derek, we appreciate the time. Excited to spin it all around the bases with you here on this Thursday.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
So, Derek, let's talk big picture first. We'll get into some of the breakdowns of our 11 games, including a doubleheader in Baltimore on this Thursday in the bigs. Let's go to the National League Cy Young market, where earlier in the week, Paul Skenes was a slight minus money favorite in front of the Phillies ace, Zach Wheeler. Donnie and I had discussed that Wheeler would probably be in some of those more significant stages in the second half of the year. Might he start to overtake Paul Skenes if the numbers remain pretty consistent for both guys? And now, after a straw poll in the last 24, 36 hours or so around MLB, the people said Wheeler should win the National League Cy Young Award. Zach Wheeler now the favorite, minus 140, moving past Skenes in his second season. Derek, how do you evaluate the National League Cy Young race at this time?
I would have Wheeler and Skenes pretty close. Skenes, I would give the slight edge right now. But the guy I have interest in is Logan Webb. He has been almost as good as Wheeler and Skenes this year. You look at his WAR at Fangraphs, it's like a quarter of a win difference between the two. Logan Webb is one of the best pitchers in terms of his wins this year, in terms of his ERA, the stuff that the voters look at. He's on a team that is a slight favorite to make the playoffs. And he has better durability than certainly than Skenes, but I would argue more than Wheeler as well. He's thrown more innings than either of these guys. And I mean, there's always a chance in the second half of the year that somebody gets hurt. But Webb, I think, has the better track record of staying healthy. At 20-1 odds, I make him much closer to Wheeler and Skenes than that.
Yeah, those top three guys there, Derek, certainly worthy of looking at for the Cy Young. But on a day-to-day basis, when you're trying to analyze pitching matchups and what pitchers you like, what are some of the statistics that you generally look at? Is it XFIP, XFIP minus here? Like, what goes into it? Sierra ratings? When you look at a pitcher on a day and say, you know what? I really like this guy. Give us some terminology that you like to use.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing I'm looking at is a projection, specifically my projections. But that's going to account for any number of things. It's going to account for all of those underlying peripherals, the strikeout rate and walk rate that goes into Sierra or XFIP. It's going to account for his velocity and spin rate and that kind of thing. And the most important thing, I think, is matchup. You have to account for the context of who he's facing that day. What is the opposing offense? How do they match up against him? What ballpark is he in? What's the weather? Who's the umpire? How does the defense around him, line up? The catcher pitch framing, all that kind of stuff. So really, you want to account for the context more than anything else.
And that BatX projection that Derek Carty created is really good stuff to start your Major League Baseball handicapping and getting ready for a new slate. I would assume the analytics of the rookie hurler for the Milwaukee Brewers are pretty great as well this year, Derek, on Big Miz Jacob Mizorowski, who outdueled Clayton Kershaw earlier this week despite allowing a solo leadoff home run to Shohei Ohtani. As we go from the NL Cy Young to the National League Rookie of the Year odds, Big Miz for the Brew Crew, a minus 230 price now to win that National League Rookie of the Year. As we get ready for the second half following the All-Star break, is it Jacob Mizorowski's award to lose in the National League?
I mean, you have to consider him the favorite right now, but a minus 230 or minus 250 price is insane. I mean, nobody can be that big of a favorite at this point, especially a young pitcher who we don't know if they're going to cap his innings. We don't know if he's going to get hurt. I mean, a guy that throws that hard obviously is a huge wild card. So minus 250 for him, I will not buy into. I will take Chase Burns at plus 3,000. He projects, I mean, he profiles very similarly to Mizorowski. They came up to the bigs around the same time, both high stuff guys. Burns actually has the better control and command than Mizorowski does. I don't understand the huge price gap here. I know the results so far have been better for Mizorowski, but we still have a lot of baseball left to play. And especially with pitchers, especially young pitchers, injuries are always a possibility. And so if you're going to give me that kind of a gap between the two of them, give me Burns.
Very volatile market for sure. We have a doubleheader today, which between the New York Mets and the Baltimore Orioles. Sagana was a guy that I was looking at yesterday, maybe with the chance to get tuned up a bit. Hasn't been that good in Major League Baseball this year. But the approach for you also, Derek, on a doubleheader, like you see Peterson versus Sugano and then Peterson versus Morton. I don't think I have the other pitcher up on deck here for me, but Sugano is going to be one of those pitchers for Baltimore. How do you approach a doubleheader when you take a look at your numbers?
Yeah, it's looking like, if I were to guess, maybe Justin Hageman for the Mets.
Yeah.
Who is not very good to put it nicely. I think there's going to be value on the Orioles here. There's, you know, we're getting plus money on the money line, depending where you look. Mm-hmm. Looks like we have plus 118 here. I have them right now projected as minus 104 favorites, and so I would be looking at that. It's a little tough with a doubleheader because you don't even know who's going to play the first game yet this early, but then who's going to sit after the first game and not play the second game. We don't know how taxed the bullpen's going to be, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you look at it, you know, with Hageman on the hill for the Mets and the Orioles, I mean, they haven't been good this year, but they are better true talent wise than they have performed. I like the Orioles today.
Derek, final minute of this segment. The other New York team, the finale of their three-game set against the Mariners. And the Yankees looking to complete the sweep up in the Bronx this week. What do you like tonight between the Yanks and the Mariners?
I like the Mariners. It's another one where I think the fair price is better than the book is setting it at. I know it's the Yankees. They've won three in a row now, so the books are kind of back to setting their standard Yankees tax. If you want to bet on the Yankees, you have to pay for it. Give me the value on the Mariners. They have by far the better pitcher in this game. And offensively, I don't think they're any slouch either.
Yeah. Seattle looking to avoid the sweep this week against the Yankees. Derek Hardy, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for being here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Plenty more of the show to come on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
The NFL playoff profiles and our final team to profile this week here on a Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Starting off this second hour, DRS, we looked at the Kansas City Chiefs, the one seed in the AFC a year ago, in the AFC champions for a third straight season. The one seed in the NFC did not reach the NFC championship game. In fact, in their only playoff game in the divisional round inside Ford Field, the Lions were upset by the Washington Commanders. A main reason why, at least if you want to give Detroit some credit, some significant injuries along that defensive side of the ball. The Lions will enter this year still, though, with high hopes of getting back to that stage, a championship game in the conference, and maybe a Super Bowl appearance for the first time in franchise history. Last year, a 15-win football team before that loss in the divisional round at home against the Commanders. They play in the highly difficult NFC North. They are the favorites to make it three straight divisional crowns at plus 155, but it will not be easy. The fact Detroit is even a favorite Again, a sign of how Dan Campbell has turned around this franchise. It had been 30 years prior to the 2023 season since the Lions last won a division. Second best price to win the NFC, fifth best number to win a Super Bowl. That's second best price only behind the reigning NFC champion and Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in this conference. But of course, DRS, the main story in Detroit is the coordinator turnover. Ben Johnson, new head coach of the Bears. Aaron Glenn, new head coach of the Jets. So enter John Morton and Kelvin Shepard as your new coordinators under Dan Campbell. How much will that change, and that change alone, change your view of the Lions entering 2025?
Adds a question mark that you wouldn't have had. Let's just say Ben Johnson was really still quirking, like, hey, seven teams want you as a head coach. Oh, I'm not ready to be a head coach yet. I want to stay in Detroit. You'd be looking at them much higher of a plane because you get the best offensive play caller in the sport back in the fold. Now, you can move on, which he did to Chicago. You can have a liaison in the building. Hey, don't worry about it, man. I know exactly what this guy Ben Johnson was doing. But until you get those play calls on game day, we're not going to know that. Talent, that's not the deficiency here on the Detroit Lions. That offense is flat out. Like, they're up there with the Philadelphia Eagles on the damage that they can do. The defense, what was the problem last year? Attrition through injury. If they're healthy this year, the defense shouldn't be a problem. I don't care if Aaron Glenn has moved on. A little bit easier to replace a defensive coordinator than it is an offensive guy. Videos I've seen in the offseason with Aiden Hutchinson still looks like he's swinging a cannonball around trying to run down the field. He says he's right where he wants to be. We'll find out a little bit later, because if he is where he wants to be and he's 100% healthy, that's a bone crusher at defensive end that is going to collapse pockets like crazy. And that was a major miss for them down the stretch while he was injured. So once again, getting back to saying, I don't think this team can compete because they're not talented enough. No, but the direction in the building still has the head coach. It's Dan Campbell. But I use that same analogy on the set on Pro Football Today. And you can even use a great Max Verstappen in F1. I don't even like F1, but I know the guy's a great driver. Take him out of the car, use the same car with just a random person driving it. Not going to be as good as Max Verstappen. That's the analogy I'm using here with Ben Johnson. He was the creator with the engine, and he called the right plays and got them going. If he's not there, I don't know in September if we're going to be dropping 30 points a game like we should be if we had Ben Johnson. And until I find that out, I don't know if I can back Detroit to win at all. Will they make the playoffs regardless of offensive coordinator? Yes, probably so. But we're used to excellence on offense and ultra aggression. Am I getting that? That's what I don't know, Ben.
It's funny how things change, DRS, right? A few years ago, SOL, same old Lions. We would have never even had this conversation. Could Detroit be on the come up? But the expectation now is very different in the Motor City. It's not 11 wins going over the win total. It's not just an NFC North divisional crown, although, of course, that is a huge first step in terms of your playoff outlook. It's contending for a conference championship, and heck, it's for this Detroit franchise reaching a Super Bowl for the first time ever. Jared Goff has been lights out. How does that look now under a new system with the plays called by John Morton? But there was no doubt outside of Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, second most passing yards last year in the NFL. And Ben Johnson, that offensive mastermind. Jahmyr Gibbs in his second NFL season, 20 total touchdowns, 16 on the ground, four more receiving scores, the most in the National Football League. The Lions to be back in the playoffs, not the question. And Donnie, I don't know if you've looked at that schedule, but oh boy, it ain't easy. We're going to learn a lot about the Lions from the very start. Third most difficult schedule in the National Football League this year. Yep. It goes at the Packers, home versus the Bears, at the Ravens, home versus the Browns, at the Bengals, at the Chiefs. That's just the opening six games of the year for the Lions. Mm. We'll learn about that coordinator drop-off basically from the jump. Mark Zinno joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we do each and every week here on the Early Line, it is time now to win with Zinn. Mark Zinno joins us here on TEL. We'll go all around the sports landscape. We'll hit on some of the hot topics around Major League Baseball as everybody will head to Mark's town of Atlanta to take in the Midsummer Classic and the Home Run Derby festivities this upcoming week. And of course, we'll go around the National Football League in this month of July, a football month. Mark Zinno, thank you for being here on TEL.
Gentlemen, the triumvirate is back whole again, and I feel whole inside, and I am very happy to be here.
I love that. A great start, Zin. All right, so all week long, we've been doing NFL playoff profiles. We have looked at the 14 total teams that reached the postseason last year, the 7 from the AFC, the 7 from the NFC. Zin, we have been working our way basically in reverse playoff standings order from the wild card teams up to the divisional champs, and today we rounded it out with those 2-1 seeds, the Chiefs in the AFC, the Lions in the NFC. I want to start with an examination of the wild card teams from a year ago in each conference. Let's start in the AFC. Those 3 wild card teams last year, the Denver Broncos, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in the LA Chargers. The Chargers, the 5 seed, the Steelers, the 6 seed, the Broncos in Bo Nix's rookie campaign, the 7 seed. If you had to pick one of those 3 teams you expect to miss the playoffs this year, which team would you be highlighting?
Probably the Broncos, due to the division that they play in, the fact that, you know, Bo Nix may be due for some sophomore regression. And I also think that the Raiders won't be as bad as many people project. Pete Carroll's never lost more. Pete Carroll's only lost more, only won less than 7 games just once in his career. It was the first year as the Jets. Now, granted, I don't think he's going to win 8 or 9 games with the Raiders in year 1, but I don't think they'll be as bad as many people are forecasting. So that hurts Denver more than anything else. I think the Chargers may be primed to snatch the division away from the Chiefs if they slip up. So it's going to be an incredibly tough decision. And I'll add one more note here that's going to make your eyes pop, Ben. But I have a future on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the AFC North. So I think they're actually on the
Whoa. I'll tell you what's also interesting, Mark, when you take a look at some of these AFC teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, because teams will change. Not everybody, hey, top 7 last year, same as this year, same as it was the last 3 years. A lot of different teams make the NFL, and that's what we like, and it's sort of hard to sort of prognosticate who that's going to be. But as you go down the list, there's a lot of teams I still don't like, but I see teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, 4 wins. I think there's a legitimate chance they could get to the playoffs. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals, which were just left out last year. Do you have any beliefs in the team that didn't make the playoffs last year in the AFC to sort of rise up and take a playoff spot this year?
I mean, you know, look, if there's one team that I think may have a chance to do it, crazy as it sounds, it might be the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
When Mike Vrabel gets into this conversation here, it starts to change the dynamic of things and what they are and how they play. You know, I'd even give a nod to the Jets. Look, I don't think the AFC South is competitive enough for anybody else to really get there. There'll be enough cannibals with Tennessee and Jacksonville winning games that they shouldn't against Indianapolis and Houston. And there's just not a really whole lot of solid coaching that I trust in that division at this point in time. So I will give a nod to Vrabel here and even Aaron Glenn for them to be able to do it. You know, I have no faith in Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. I'd be surprised if he lasts the whole season, although the Bengals aren't in the business of firing coaches anymore. Look how long they held on to Marvin Lewis. So Zach Taylor may have the best job security in the NFL, despite the fact never winning anything. And so I think that there is a chance here that New England could make some noise and really surprise some teams in the AFC.
Zach Taylor has won more AFC championships than Sean McDermott, but yeah, I guess to your point of not winning anything is a little bit large there. You know, as we look around the NFC now and focusing on those wild card teams, last year, despite 14 wins, the Minnesota Vikings were that top wild card team, the 5 seed in the NFC. The Commanders were a wild card team, had to go on the road as an underdog to get to the NFC Championship. They did that for the first time since 1991. And the Green Bay Packers were our 3rd and final wild card team in 11-6 here. But some questions perhaps about Jordan Love and his playoff performance, especially in that opening game against Philadelphia with 3 INTs. If you had to choose with one of those 3 NFC wildcard teams from a season ago to miss out on the postseason in 2025, who you taking?
It's the Vikings. I mean, look, they won a ton of close games last year. We know that regression is coming, and they're also doing it with essentially a rookie quarterback, a guy who was injured all last year in J.J. McCarthy. And I know people think the world of Kevin O'Connell and the offense, and I'm not saying that they're going to be bad. Obviously, Justin Jefferson is there, and they've put a whole bunch of good weapons on the offensive side of the ball, but I just don't look at this team as a threat as much as they were last year. Plus, I think the Packers are winning the division. I think that they are primed for another bump up as Detroit plays one of the hardest schedules in the NFL coming up out this season. So it's going to be an incredibly tough NFC North to deal with. But I think the Vikings will take a little bit of a step back as the Bears take a little bit of a step forward.
I got to tell you, like, we just looked at the AFC, and it's like, okay, who can make the playoffs, who can't? It's like one or two teams that didn't make it last year might be like, hey, you know what? We think we can get in there. You look at the NFC. Let's just say if we remove the Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, and the Giants. We're talking about the Bears, 49ers, Cowboys, Cardinals, Falcons, Seahawks that didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, I think they're teams that can take the next step up. So do the same exercise we did with the AFC, Mark. Of those teams that didn't make the playoffs, like, who's on the verge of saying, like, you know what? We can get in the playoffs, but boy, oh boy, you got some talent here that you got to jump over just to get there in the NFC.
Now, the 49ers should be able to win their division if they stay healthy. I mean, that's really what this is all about. They were bit by the injury bug massively last year. If they could stay healthy, they're clearly the best team in that division. I know everybody looks at the Rams and what they were able to do and how they were able to accomplish it. And, you know, they're not a bad football team. I'm not saying they're going to be a bad football team, but this is the Niners division to lose, and it has been for quite some time. Nobody is more talented than them. Nobody's better coached than they are. And particularly on the defensive side of the ball, they have the best defense in that division. I'll give a nod to Seattle, certainly, you know, coming on better on that side of the ball with why is the Ravens' former defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, who's the coach in Seattle now?
Correct. Yes, he's the coach in Seattle.
The Irish guy's running around a league coaching. I can't keep them all straight. Anyway, O'Connell, McDonald, it's you know, for the Italian guy in the room, it's too much.
I hear you. Fair enough.
Nonetheless, you know, Seattle will have a better defense, but this is the Niners' division to lose.
Where's Darren Rizzi when you need him, huh? -194, the price on the 49ers to reach the NFC postseason. Please. Second best. What was that?
Doug Marone, please.
Dougie.
Syracuse football Dougie legend. Fresh. Doug Marone. -194, the price on the Niners to reach the NFC postseason. Second best in the conference, only behind the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the 49ers deserve some of that odds optimism if, and it's a large if, they remain healthy this year. Of course, San Francisco entering last season and reached the NFC Championship game 4 of the previous 5 years and lost to the Chiefs in the previous Super Bowl to end out 2023. It would seem, though, Zeno, that the sexy team, the hot team to pick this offseason with the optimism from that division and that conference is the LA Rams. You don't seem to be all that swayed by what Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford might have this year in the City of Angels.
It's an old team, at least a quarterback, some of the other positions, Devontae Adams. I mean, this is, look, I get the names pop, but, you know, Matthew Stafford is contemplating retirement. He certainly is very fragile at this stage of his career. For the warrior that he's been throughout his entire career, there's a lot of things waiting to bite the Rams from behind. Again, this is also a defense last year that had some question marks, and I don't know that they're wholly trustworthy on both sides of the ball here, but I don't know. Again, whether Matt Stafford plays all 17 games is a big question mark for me.
He has been relatively healthy the last few years, was not in 2022 after, of course, they won a Super Bowl. I would say some young talent, though, for the Rams on the defensive side of the ball that was ever improving and playing at their best in the most significant games were great in that postseason for LA. We'll transition from the NFL to Major League Baseball. Fun a few days before the All-Star break, and everybody joins Zeno in Atlanta. All of that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
It is always one of our favorite things here on the Early Line to break down some Major League Baseball with Mark Zeno, especially in the final few days before the All-Star break. We are past the halfway point, past 81 games of 162. Most teams well into the 90s now in terms of their current counter in the regular season contests they have played. But as we get to the All-Star break this upcoming week, always that idea of the halfway point, a time to reset and take a proper look at what is happening in the big picture lens around MLB. I just have to say, selfishly, really enjoy when the Yankees aren't playing great baseball because it makes Mark Zeno rather fired up. I guess that would have been a hotter topic over the weekend, Zeno, dropping the first few games of the Subway Series against the Mets, but they snapped a six-game slide in the finale, beating the Amazons, and this week in the Bronx, they have taken the opening two games with a ton of offensive power on display against the Seattle Mariners. Three straight wins for the Yanks, but they are trailing in the American League East now by 2.5 games behind the Toronto Blue Jays. There you see the perspective on the pinstripes at this point, a few days out from the All-Star break. How do you evaluate where the Yanks are entering the All-Star break in Atlanta?
I mean, look, at this point in time, this team deserves no more of my energy or effort. I'd rather root for Hamas than the Yankees at this point in time. They've really frustrated me. Listen, when Jason Dominguez swings at a 3-1 pitch with Aaron Judge in the on-deck circle against the Mets, and not only is it ball four, it's just bad baseball all around. Like, it's just unforgivable. It's bad situational baseball. They don't manage well. Boone has – the Yankees threw a reliever out there with a broken leg four times after he broke his leg. Two of those games he was directly involved in a loss in with Mark Leiter Jr. Like, what is going on? They've become sort of a joke right now with the way things are run. And I saw it said best on Twitter. If you think there is one shred left of what George Steinbrenner built this organization into, you're dead wrong. There is none of it left. It is gone. It is out the window. They are a business, not a baseball team. They're not serious about winning a World Series. That said, are they going to be good enough to make the playoffs? Yes. Are they going to be bad enough to get bounced in the first or second round? Absolutely. Because this is not a World Series roster. It's Aaron Judge, eight jabronis, and maybe one decent starter when Garrett Cole is not hurt. So, I mean, that's really what this boils down to at this point in time. They're just not a very well-constructed team from top to bottom. It took them 2.5 months to realize DJ LeMay, you can't hit baseball anymore. I could have told you that in the first 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, take a look at the Yankees. And again, Mark is right. They're still going to be in it here because the quality of opponents in the American maybe not be that high. You take a look at the team that, if the season ended today, would be the Detroit Tigers. Then you have the Houston Astros, who are sort of reestablishing themselves as one of the dominant forces in the American League. The Toronto Blue Jays, who are slightly ahead currently right now of the New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Mariners, the Red Sox here. It's not a deep field in the American League. So as you look at the New York Yankees as it pertains to the Jays, Astros, and Tigers, are the Tigers really that far and away above everybody else, or do we treat them like OKC? We don't care about your regular season. Let's wait till you do it in the playoffs.
Well, that's true. Let's see you do it in the playoffs. But, Ben, I've talked about this when we showed the odds over the past month, and the Yankees were ahead of the Tigers, and I kept telling you that's a wrong number. The Tigers are better than the Yankees and should be the favorite, but they don't have the Yankees logo, nor do they have the Yankees respect in the marketplace from public bettors. That's why the Tigers weren't the favorite. But I've been telling you guys for 2 months, the Tigers should be the number one favorite to win the American League because they are that much better than everybody else. Their pitching, starting pitching particularly, is extremely deep. So that's number one that automatically helps them. They have a really good bullpen. I mean, it's, you know, top 12 in Major League Baseball in ERA and WHIP. And guess what? They hit, and they hit on the road more than anything else. And look, this is a Tigers team that's probably going to get better at the deadline, like better than the Yankees will be at the deadline. I mean, if you handicap it right now, who's going to have a better trade deadline? It's the Tigers. They have more to give away. The Yankees have nothing to offer anybody. Nobody wants your what the Yankees trash is at this point in time. They're not giving away their top prospects in the minors because that's the only hope they have to add some power to the lineup in the future. So the Yankees have nothing to give away to anybody. The Tigers do. They have a great farm system.
And let me just clarify just for one thing. We are anti-terrorist organization here on the early line. Not that that needs to be shared by any means and disavow the rooting for them. As we look at the American League pennant odds, you know, in a very harsh transition, the Tigers are the favorites now at plus 240, more than a dollar in front of the Yankees at plus 350. The Yanks, as you saw, remain the even money favorites to win the American League East, but are trailing Toronto by 2.5 game. So the Tigers now rewarded as the favorites and have a 3.5 game advantage to be that number one seed in the American League and earn that opening round bye. I ask you this, though, Zito, when you look at the AL pennant prices, would the Tigers be the bet, or is there another team that you would rather wager on ahead of the All-Star break?
I mean, if you like the value of the Blue Jays right now and you believe they can sustain this thing, then, yeah, that's the way to go. But I don't know that the Tigers would lose to the Blue Jays in the American League Championship Series should the path go down that road. Yeah. But you're getting a much better price. Look, I think that Astros number is way off, by the way. And they're only giving it to you because they're not going to lose the AL West. But they are not that close to the Tigers, and they're not that far ahead of the Blue Jays. So that number would not pique my interest at all. But again, Toronto, if you believe in them and the lineup that they're putting out there, because again, their starting pitching is sort of so-so, right? Jose, you know, Barrios is okay. Kevin Gausman is inconsistent, but good. Chris Bassett's only good at home. It's not like they're trotting out there this frontline starting rotation that scares the bejesus out of you. That's not what's going to happen here. So they're going to hit the ball, and they have a good bullpen that's going to be able to shut you down. They're smart to keep the game to six innings. If they can get to their bullpen with a lead, guess what? They got a really good chance to beat you.
Zeno, final minute of this segment, plus 120 price on the Dodgers, despite a six-game slide. They are going to remain the short favorites, and despite the six-game skid, still the best record in the National League. But when a team is as short as the Dodgers, might it prevent some value somewhere else, or present some value, I should say. Final 30 seconds, what bet would you make in the NL pennant prices at the moment?
Probably the Mets, maybe even the Cubs. But I keep telling you guys, the Dodgers are not that much better than the rest of the field on the baseball. They're better, but they're not $3.50 better than everybody else.
The All-Star festivities this upcoming week in Atlanta. Home Run Derby first on a Monday. Midsummer Classic, that All-Star game on a Tuesday. Dino gets you excited next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Rounding out this second hour live right here on a Thursday on the early line. Just a few more days, four to be exact. Some clubs ending out a midweek series on this Thursday. Some, like in Fenway between the Sox and the Rays, starting their final weekend set before that Major League Baseball All-Star break when MLB converges on Atlanta, Georgia, where we find Mark Zeno here on this Thursday. Zeno, we're only a few days, five away from the Home Run Derby on Monday night. And I'm pretty sure the way the bracket works, if they're still doing it that way, or at least the amount of participants we have seen is eight, and we only have six. Those six officially listed with Junior Caminero joining the fold yesterday. Caminero, O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Byron Buxton, although he plunked yesterday and had to leave the game with a left hand injury. James Wood, the young stud for the Washington Nationals, the home run leader, big dumper Cal Raleigh, and that Atlanta guy, Ronald Acuna Jr., who hit two long balls yesterday. That home run total up to 11. Zeno, let's start with the field. Are we going to get eight? And if we do, when exactly are we going to find the final two participants?
You'll get eight. There'll be somebody who's not going to be in the All-Star game themselves who will step up and enter the Derby. You'll get the eight because Major League Baseball makes sure you get the eight. But this is as sort of nondescript a list that I've seen for a Home Run Derby in quite some time. You know, most of these guys couldn't pick these players out of a lineup on the street if they bumped into them. So It's a bad look for Major League Baseball not to have any stars, but you know, the biggest home run hitters in the game have already done this thing multiple times. Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, like they've already stepped up to the plate and did their bidding for Major League Baseball. They don't need to do it anymore. Kind of pathetic that Major League Baseball didn't put Juan Soto in the All-Star game yet. We grabbed the ancient Clayton Kershaw as a Lifetime Achievement Award to be in the All-Star game because Soto in his rival town against his rival team would have been great theater for Major League Baseball to have in the All-Star game instead of the old decrepit pitcher who's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, you know, you kind of might have been able to get Soto to do the home run there. Probably not, but you get the point. Like, there are guys out there that would have made for better TV that Major League Baseball continually misses the mark on.
Mark, are we at the point now, which I've already been on the bandwagon for years, can we just do away with it? Because for me, forget about content. How about just a fan? How about a handicapper? We all love to wager on games. If Major League Baseball said we're not going to have any All-Star week at all and just play our games all the way through, wouldn't we be a better society for it? Taking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no baseball till next Friday, and you already see it. The players don't want to be in the home run hitting contest here. And also, Jose Ramirez, healthy. For the Guardians, hey, man, leave me out of this game at this point. When can we just stop the charade, just play the sport, have a nice steak dinner at the end of the season, and call it an all-star weekend for those players? How about that?
Part of the Midsummer Classic is the actual break for the players to take.
Need a break. I don't get a break.
I mean, I'm with you. We don't get a break either. We do get theoretically – employees get a paid vacation at some point, some paid time
off.
Who's
going on a golf trip this weekend?
That would be this guy. So, that's just time off. It's not paid time off. That's the difference. The point simply is that, you know, I think part of it is that the players just get that break for their bodies. I agree with your idea that maybe it's just easier to keep playing games because it means more to us as fans and handicappers to be able to keep games on the schedule. But I thought, you know, the home run derby from a handicapping perspective can be worthwhile, and you certainly can make some plus money out of the whole thing. So I don't hate it totally.
So as we get excited for the Midsummer Classic, you guys seen the jerseys yet?
Yeah, I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette with these jerseys. I'm losing my mind already.
I get that. Old Atlanta.
Yeah.
It looks like it says Al on your jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got something. You know what? Like,
come on.
I got something.
Go ahead, fashion, please.
No. This has to stay in the commercial break because I like my job at this point right now. But there is something wrong with fashion, please, on this stuff here, which I'm going to comment here over the break. But look at the jerseys, though. Can't we, you just put them in their regular jersey, a Yankees jersey, a Mets jersey, a Braves jersey. We'll love it. Or just a beautiful jersey that says in cursive American and National on the front. Why is it so hard?
I don't think they're playing in those jerseys. In the actual All-Star game.
What's it for?
They will be.
What's a jersey for then?
It's for the Derby.
What is that?
The Derby and get people to buy them and such. And to get sports media hosts like yourself really upset. I mean, people have been letting a lot of things fly here on the air, DRS, if you want to finish with it. Zeno, thank you. Hour 3 next.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.